अवेश्यतां न मचिरप्याहैतुकी। Svastyasti Vishvasya Kala Prasidat Universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing Bhakti Yoga, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Purport. The following verse describes a Vaishnava. Panchakalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha pachitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself. Rather, he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavata Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. Parama nirmatsaranam. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, Kala prasidatam, may all the envious persons be pacified. The material world is full of envious persons, but if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manacha badram bhajata dadakshaje. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisingadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Bahir Nrisinga, Hridaye Nrisinga, let Lord Nrisingadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean, so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given up us a very fine purport in this regard. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from Him. Even pure, nishkama devotee pray for some benediction, as instructed by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtakam.
Ainandatanuja kinkaram patitam bambishame bhavam budhau kripayadava padapankaja stita dholi sadrisham vichintaya.
O son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. Yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from the ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. In another prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktira haitu kitvaye. Life after life, kindly let me have unalloyed devotion and love at your lordship's lotus feet. When Prahlad Maharaj chants Om Namo Bhagavate Narasingaya, he prays for a benediction from the Lord. But because he is also an exalted Vaishnava, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification. The first desire expressed in his prayer is Svasti Astu Vishvasya, let there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. Prahlad Maharaj thus requested the Lord to be merciful to everyone, including his father, a most envious person. According to Chanakya Pandit, there are two kinds of envious living entities. One is a snake and the other is the man, like Hiranyakashipu, who is by nature envious of everyone, even of his father or son. Hiranyakashipu was envious of his little son Prahlad, but Prahlad Maharaj asked a benediction for the benefit of his father. Hiranyakashipu was very envious of devotees, but Prahlad Maharaj wished that his father and other demons like him would give up their envious nature by the grace of the Lord and stop harassing the devotees. Kala prasidatam. The difficulty is that the kala, envious living entity, is rarely pacified. One kind of kala, the snake, can be pacified simply by mantras or by the action of a particular herb. Mantra ushadhi vasha sarpa kalakena nivaryate. An envious person, however, cannot be pacified by any means. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that all living persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if by the grace of Krishna everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious people will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays Shivam Mitho Diya. In material activities, everyone is envious of others, but in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that everyone's mind may become gentle by being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Bhajatat Adoksha Jai. As indicated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sabai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo, such as advised by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, 1865, Man Mana Bhava Mad Bhakto, one should constantly think of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Then one's mind will certainly be cleansed, Chetodarpanamarjanam. Materialists always think of sense gratification, but Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be all right. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna in that way, the whole universe would be vacated because everyone would go back home, back to Godhead. However, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this is impossible because the living entities are innumerable. If one set of living entities is actually delivered by the Krishna consciousness movement, another set will fill the entire universe. Srila Prabhupada said to this regard, answering one's question at the interview, if everyone will become a Hare Krishna, then who will work? And Prabhupada said, fools like you will never take up to Hare Krishna. And you will work. So there will always be people not interested. So material world will never be empty. And so we'll read the text one more time. Svastyastu vishvasya kala prasidatam dentu putanishva mitodiya manascha badram bhajata dadokshache vashyatam namatirapyahaituki. May there be good fortune throughout the universe and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. So this is very beautiful prayer by completely pure devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. Not only pure, but he is also one of the Mahajans, 12 great authorities on universal scale in bhakti yoga. The list is given in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by Yamaraj. He says, Svayambhur Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Prahlada Janaka Bhishma Balir Vayasaki Vayam. That Svayambhu, self-born, means Lord Brahma. Narada Muni, Shambhu, Lord Shiva, Kumaras, Kapila Dev, Manu, specifically Svayambhuva Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Bhishma Dev, Bali Maharaj, Vyasaki, who is son of Vyas, Shukadev Goswami, and then at the end, very humbly, Yamaraj says, Vayam, we are also included in the list. So these are the 12 great souls who know everything about Krishna consciousness. And so Prahlad Maharaj is the one of them. And he is offering this prayer, completely pure prayer, to the Lord. This is his desire, desire of a Vaishnava. Svasti astu. Svasti means benefit or auspiciousness. Astu, let there be, let it be. Vishvasya, for the entire universe. So he is wishing good not only to everyone on this planet, but everyone in the whole creation. Because Vaishnavas are very compassionate and they understand that everyone is suffering in this material world. And why do people suffer? Kala, because of their own envy in the other, in the other place in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada speaks about the envy, which is like a poison and which is burning one from inside. And he gives an example of snakes who are by nature very poisonous. And the fire of the poison is burning the snake from inside, and that's why they can be found sometimes on the branches of sandalwood trees, because sandalwood has this cooling propensity, and so they seeking relief from the burning fire of poison. And because they are always burned and because they are always disturbed, therefore the same Prahlad Maharaj, he also says that such a poisonous or envious living entities can actually be killed, and this will benefit them, because if someone kills them, so then this will end their miserable life. And he said that in regards to Nrisingadev killing his own father, because Nrisingadev was a little bit sorry for Prahlad Maharaj because he had to kill his father. And he was wondering if Prahlad Maharaj is not disturbed by that. And then Prahlad Maharaj said, well, he was very envious and very dangerous personality, like a snake. And so if the snake is killed, even saintly persons are rejoicing, are very happy for that living entity. So Prahlad Maharaj was actually happy that his father was killed, not because his father was just killed, but because he was killed by the Supreme Lord, and therefore he got the topmost benefit of association with the Supreme Lord. Of course, this association was not an easy one for Hiranyakashipu, but still was very beneficial. And we understand from scriptures and from Srila Prabhupada's statements that envy is the original fault in the conditioned soul, that all the other troubles actually come from envy. And this is very subtle but very powerful type of contamination. There is a Indian tale about one man who was asking Lord Shiva for a boon because he wanted to fulfill all his material desires. And Lord Shiva said, yes, I will fulfill all your desires, whatever you will ask, it will happen. But on one condition, that your neighbor will have twice as much as you. And so he was asking so many things, and then he saw that his neighbor was getting twice as much. And guess what he asked in the end? He said, please let me be blind on one eye. Make sure that my neighbor is completely blind. So that's the nature of envy. Not only I want all my material desires be fulfilled, not only I want to be happy in the material world, but the topmost happiness is to see others miserable. So that's the nature of the conditioned soul. But Vaishnavas are completely opposite because they want everyone to be happy. They wish good to everybody. And of course, this is very rare. And because this can only manifest if someone is influenced either by goodness or by pure goodness. If one is influenced by the lower modes, such as passion or ignorance, one cannot wish well to everybody else. And therefore, because this age is very degraded one, there are very, very few examples of that in the world, but still we can see that even today, of course, in the characters of very pure personalities such as Srila Prabhupada, who actually sacrificed his own life for the benefit of all of us. In fact, he traveled so extensively, as we know, within the 12 years of his preaching in the West, he made 14 round-the-world trips. And Chanakya Pandit says very clearly that horse becomes old by not being used, you know, staying without work. The horse becomes old. Cloth becomes old being exposed to the direct sun rays. Woman becomes old by being neglected by the husband. And man becomes old by traveling. And it's a fact that traveling shortens one's lifespan. I could never understand it until I started traveling around the world, and then I really felt that it takes a very serious toll on the body. One of the devotees who worked as a hostess on an airline, she said they made an experiment. They put a bucket of water when they were crossing the equator, and normally the water, after a while in the air, starts moving in a circular way. And so after they crossed the equator, the water started moving in the opposite direction. So actually this is what's happening in the body, because our body is mostly consisting of water, so it's a serious shock. And it's a very well-known fact, and therefore the crew, the airline, you know, the aircraft crew, after they cross the equator, they are not allowed to take any flights for 2 weeks. They have to rest. But Srila Prabhupada never rested. He was always traveling. So 14 round the world trip, this is something completely unimaginable. And on the top of that, he was sacrificing his sleep. He slept 2, maximum 3 hours every night just to make sure he can finish translating and explaining as many bhakti literatures as he could. And in effect, he admitted, before he left this world, he admitted, he told one of his disciples that, actually, I shortened my lifespan by at least 10 years because I had to take all these austerities. So Srila Prabhupada would live much longer. He destroyed his body for the sake of benefiting the whole world, but we can see that his sacrifice is still giving astonishing results even today. And he's not the only one, fortunately. If we visit India, we can still see very exalted personalities, very pure personalities, following old customs, old traditions, and therefore these people are completely devoid of all envy or jealousy. Of course, especially in holy places like Vrindavan or Mayapur, we can come across such people. One devotee, he shared his experiences. He went in Vrindavan, he was going to Radha Damodar temple. He wanted to visit the temple. But those of you who've been there, you know that, you know, all these temples, they are within the, you know, yards, and you know, all the doors sometimes are so similar and all the yards are so similar. And so that devotee actually entered into one door, entered into one yard, and then he saw people sitting there taking prasadam. And so he thought, wow, they're distributing mahaprasadam from the deities. So he just sat, and so they put a plate in front of him, they served him prasadam. He took it, then he washed his hands, and then he said, so where are the deities now? I want to take darshan. And they were asking, which deities are you looking for? And he said, well, Radha Damodar deities. This is Radha Damodar temple. And they said, no, this is not Radha Damodar temple. This is private house. Radha Damodar temple is next door. Can you imagine that? In America? It's not possible, right? Someone enters somebody's house without any invitation. The first question will be, who are you? What are you doing? Get out of here. But not in Vrindavan. So someone came, okay, though. So this is Atithi Narayan. Guest is treated as God, and so they just served without any question why the person came. And Srila Prabhupada also had one experience like that when he came back to India, and devotees bought him a car, ambassador car, and they were driving him. And then one time there was a program somewhere in a hall, and then Srila Prabhupada came out the first one, and then he went to the car, which he thought was his car, and then he sat in that car waiting for devotees. And then almost immediately after that, the owners of this car came and they saw Prabhupada sitting in the car. And so they entered, you know, in the car, and they started talking with Srila Prabhupada. And devotees, they saw that, but it was too late for them to tell Prabhupada about his mistake or whatever. And so they were thinking what to do. And they were waiting to see what will happen. And then Srila Prabhupada came out, and then he went to his car, and then he said, and he was laughing, he said, oh, that car looked so similar to mine, so I mistook it to be our car. And devotees were a little bit concerned, and they were saying, you know, so Srila Prabhupada, what happened? Were these people disturbed? And Srila Prabhupada said, no. They were just welcoming me. They were saying, Swamiji, very nice to see you in our car. So, can we do something for you? Can we give you a ride somewhere? And Prabhupada said, no. Actually, it was a mistake. I have my car nearby, so I just sat here by mistake. And devotees were very surprised. American devotees were very surprised, but Prabhupada said, this is Vedic culture. Completely, no jealousy, no envy. Completely pure people. Just willing to serve, ready to serve. So this is Vedic culture, this is Krishna consciousness. And this is what Krishna consciousness is meant to give to the whole world. And this is one of the benefits of visiting India, because there are so many holy places and so many people worshipping the Supreme Lord. And therefore, we can still see very wonderful examples of Vedic culture despite of certain deterioration and degradation, which is unfortunately happening even in India. Still, we can see the examples of Vedic culture and the benefits it gives to the people, and that would serve as an encouragement to spread Krishna consciousness more, so that the same effects would be seen everywhere else in the world. Of course, there are countries which do have that very strong foundation of culture and goodness. Very rare, but there are examples. One very outstanding example is Japan. It always impresses me how much culture these people have, even despite of the Kali Yuga influence. I remember they have a small temple in Tokyo. The temple room probably is maybe 1/10 of the Chicago temple room. But very nice community. And one morning I entered into the temple room from the street. The door was open. And there was nobody there. And I counted there were 4 locations in the temple room with the, you know, boxes with the money inside open. You know, like they would have a shop in one corner, then would just put the money into the box, and the other box they collect donations for deity dresses, etc. So they would keep that also separate. And so in 4 locations they would have money lying open. And this is like central part of the city, and anyone can enter in, and there is nobody. And I thought, this is only possible in Japan, because people are so honest. They would never take anything which doesn't belong to them. Like after tsunami, everything was destroyed, banks or say jewelry shops, the gold, the money was lying on the street. No one was taking anything, because that's their understanding, that whatever doesn't belong to me, I should not take, because that will disturb other people, which is really a bad thing to do. So they're very, very considerate in terms of other people, and very caring people also. Like, same after tsunami, they had shortage of food, and there were long lines at the shop to buy something, and they had limited amount of bread for people, and it was obvious that it will not be enough for everyone. And there was an old man standing in the end of the line, And the young boy who was in front of the line, he purchased his loaf of bread. They could get only one loaf per head. And he just went to the end of the line and he gave his loaf of bread to that old man. Completely unrelated to him, stranger. So, and then he walked off. Because, you know, they have this understanding, respect towards seniors, etc. So, many wonderful qualities. I was thinking that these people only missing Krishna in their lives, then, you know, their character would be completely perfect. But unfortunately, these kind of examples are very, very rare in our day and age. And this is what Prahlad Maharaj is praying for, that this kind of atmosphere would prevail not only all over the world, but all over the universe. And he says, Deyantu Bhutani Shivam Mitodiya, that let everyone think of others' welfare. Let everyone think of others first and themselves last, which is mentality of a sacrifice, being willing or being able to sacrifice one's own interest for the sake of benefiting others. So this is Krishna consciousness. This is what pure devotee is praying for. Pure devotees are praying for others, other living entities, not only human beings, but other beings as well. And Srila Prabhupada says, people think that the sacrifice of Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest because he sacrificed himself for the benefit of his followers. But then he mentions Vasudev Datta, and his sacrifice was so much greater. He was willing to sacrifice himself not only for the sake of his followers, but for the sake of all the living entities in the universe, and he proved that, and he was affected by leprosy, and the worms were eating his body alive, and some worm would fall out of the body, and Vasudev Datta would pick the worm up and place him back, because he was thinking, this poor worm, he will die without any food. But the food for this worm was his own body. That he didn't consider. When Lord Chaitanya was asking him if he can do something for him, then what Vasudev Datta told Lord Chaitanya, that let me suffer for all the sins of all living entities in the universe, which means practically forever, and let them all go to the spiritual world. Let me take all the sins of all living entities in the whole universe on my head. And Lord Chaitanya was very moved. He said, I will just liberate these living entities. You don't have to take on their sinful reactions. So this is unlimited compassion of Vaishnava. And we have so many examples in the scriptures, such as Srimad Bhagavatam, and we have so many examples even today. We can see Prabhupada followers, Prabhupada disciples, spiritual masters, they really sacrifice themselves for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he actually made that statement. He said that, yeah, cancer, he was affected by cancer and he died shortly after he made that request, that prayer to the Lord. Let me suffer for all the troubles of ISKCON and let ISKCON be relieved from all troubles. And actually many devotees, they say that things have changed for better after Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj left his body. So, and it's not artificial, because devotee in Krishna consciousness enjoys such a bliss of serving the Lord. He is not concerned about his misery, so-called misery, like Prahlad Maharaj. No matter how much of a hard time Hiranyakashipu gave him, he never became upset with Hiranyakashipu, and he never actually objected against all the troubles. So that's, of course, this is something which comes on a very high level, but we can see these examples in the history and also contemporary examples. And so these examples are meant to help us understand that this process does work, that there is a verse in Bhagavad Gita where in Krishna says that many, many people, they followed that process of devotional service before and they attained perfection. And so you should also follow in their footsteps. So all the benefits of described in scriptures are available for all of us, including that topmost benefit of developing unlimited compassion and love, not only for the Supreme Lord, but also for everyone. Because Krishna consciousness is not exclusive, it's inclusive. We want to include everyone. We want everyone to get the Lord's mercy. All right, so if anyone has any comments or questions on the subject, yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Thank you.
Good discussion. Just trying to get a clearer conception of compassion. I think there's kind of a confusing example Srila Prabhupada will give as like the highest ideal of devotion, the gopis of Vrindavan. And it seems that they don't care much for other living entities.
Uh-huh.
Like we hear about the gopi who will be in the middle of feeding her child, and then she'll drop this child to go see Krishna. So it doesn't look like a very compassionate thing. So I was hoping you could help clear the apparent contradiction.
If the gopis are the topmost example of devotion, so they're supposed to have the topmost compassion, so how do the gopis manifest that they are compassion? Anyone wants to comment on that? Yeah, compassion of the gopis was manifested in the way that they didn't worry about any social limitations. They were ready to sacrifice everything, even their own good name or prestige, for the sake of serving Krishna. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada gives an example of Srimati Radharani and example of her compassion. He says that when Srimati Radharani brings a devotee to Krishna, she says, Krishna, please accept him because he is better than me. Of course, no one can be better than Srimati Radharani, but this is her humility and her compassion, that she is ready to do anything to bring one to Krishna consciousness. And because of her, Krishna is accepting everyone. Yes, Rupa.
We also answer that question and by saying Gaur Lila is also Krishna Lila, and Krishna Lila is also Gaur Lila. So in Gaur Lila, that feature of compassion exhibited towards other living entities takes on a prominent position. Whereas in Krishna Lila, the Madhurya aspect takes the prominent position. And we hear in Prabhupada's books that when Krishna performs his Madhurya Lila in the material world, it's just to attract him to the beauty of Krishna, but because people couldn't get it, so then he took on another feature in order to capture their attention. So Gaur Lila is the expression of Krishna and the gopis' compassion. All the members in Gaur Lila are gopis, and they're expressing compassion toward them. I'm wondering if that could also be a way to express it.
Yeah, thank you. Very good point.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. If somebody is envious on us, might be there an our fault too?
If someone is envious, then?
Yeah. It might be that it's our fault that somebody is envious on us.
If someone is envious of us, can that be our fault? Well, it may or may not be, but it's always a good point to consider. Yeah. I had one example in my own life. Devotees in central London, they regularly go out to do Harinams because the temple is just off the Oxford Street, which is the central street in London. And so they invited me to come on Harinam. And when we were passing by one school, there was a kind of English language school nearby. There is an English language school nearby the temple. When we were passing by and we stopped and we were doing Harinam, and then one lady leaned out of a window and started shouting at us. She said, can you please just move on? You know, you're making so much noise, we cannot study here. You know, how many times do I have to tell you? And so she started shouting and screaming, and of course, we were not very happy with that. And in my mind, I was thinking, oh, what a materialistic woman. She cannot appreciate, you know, the benefit of the holy name. And so anyway, we moved. And then Krishna arranged something to help me understand her position. We were conducting a educational course on Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhakti Vaibhav, and I was requested to teach that class. And it was summer and windows were open. And the windows were, facing the street. And the classroom was right above the entrance to the temple. And so, right in the beginning of the class, you know, the Harinam went out, and before they went on, you know, just while waiting for other devotees to join, they started doing kirtan outside of the, you know, next to the entrance. And I realized, you know, while kirtan is going on, it was the second floor, and Kirtan was outside. There was no chance to conduct the class. No one would hear anything. And of course, I couldn't follow the example of that woman, lean out of the window and tell the devotees, could you please just move on? You're disturbing our class. So I just had to, you know, like, patiently wait till the Harinam goes. But then I felt myself, you know, I knew exactly what that lady felt, you know. I was in her shoes. You know, there is a saying that before criticizing anyone, it's always good to wear that person's shoes and also walk in those shoes at least a mile. Because then you will have double benefit. First of all, you'll have somebody else's shoes. And second of all, if you want to criticize them, you will be one mile away. So they wouldn't hear what you're saying. Anyway, it's a joke, of course, but, you know, it is true that sometimes we think, oh, these people are so materialistic, or sometimes, oh, they are so demoniac, but we don't consider our side. We don't consider maybe we have done something to really push them, push their buttons so hard that, you know, they lost their patience with us. So, yeah, it's a good point to consider.
As critics means envy?
Sorry?
Criticizing, yeah, sure. Criticizing means envy?
Normally, yes, it is. Of course, some may argue, well, Srila Prabhupada was also saying critical things, right? But he had no envy in his heart because he is a pure Vaishnava. So how that was possible? That's an exceptional example because he was an exceptional person. And even when he was saying critical things, it was done out of love. Disciple of Srila Prabhupada recollects that he was in the car with him again in London, and the car was passing through the central part of London, and it was Saturday, and Saturday is a real shopping day. Everyone is just out there doing shopping like crazy. And Srila Prabhupada was looking at all these people who were running from one shop to another, looking for sales, for deals, etc. And he was saying, you know, look at these people. They are such fools and rascals. They are in complete ignorance. And he was making these critical remarks. And that devotee, he thought, Srila Prabhupada's really disturbed or angry, but when he looked at him, he saw that tears were streaming from Prabhupada's eyes. Because Srila Prabhupada felt the pain these people will have to face because of their ignorance. This was the only reason why he was making these critical remarks. Because of his unlimited compassion, he wanted to do something to give these people Krishna consciousness. So, yeah, but normally, in the conditioned state, if someone is critical, yeah, obviously it is envy. Nothing else. And even if we are practicing devotional service, but if we are critical, you know, unless we are completely pure in heart, then the reason will be envy. That's why it is so important not to criticize, especially devotees.
One more question, please. How to fight envy?
Sorry?
How to fight envy?
How to fight envy? Well, it's not an easy thing, because envy is a root cause of our material conditioning. then it manifests itself as lust, because, you know, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and I'm envious of Krishna, that's why I want to enjoy without any restrictions, same in the same way like Krishna. So that envy manifests as lust and pride. And so if I'm successful in my sense gratification, then I become greedy. But if I'm not successful, I become angry. So this is how, you know, the conditioning unfolds. And so this is why it is recommended to become free first, to get rid of anger, and then gradually get rid of greed and get rid of lust, and envy comes lust. Envy is the final anartha which will go from the heart. Because even those who are completely pure, like impersonalists, they really succeed in becoming free from anger, greed, lust, right? They really control themselves so well, and they become really, really detached. But then they go to Brahmajyoti, and Jiva Goswami describes in his Sandarbhas, if they go to the area in Brahmajyoti very close to the spiritual world from which they can see the Lord and his pastimes, so from there they are trying to enter, trespass and enter into the spiritual world, and their meditation is Soham, which means I am him, I am the Lord. And then, but then Lord Shiva is the guardian of the entrance. You know, Lord Shiva's abode is Brahmajyoti. He is staying there just to make sure no one can enter into the spiritual world without being qualified. And then Lord Shiva hits these living entities with his trident, and they fly back and they go through all the 8,400,000, you know, they just pass by all these pieces of life and they enter into a stone. So this is one reason why gemstones are so attractive, because there is an impersonalist or Mayavadi inside. Very pure soul, but not free from envy. So, all right, so I guess we should finish there. Thank you very much. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande.